Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck, coming to you from Dallas, Texas, Herb's house. And we're so thrilled that you've joined us. We have a great study in store. It's going to be from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. The title of this is Pray for God's Kingdom. When you go to the Lord in prayer, you need to pray for the expansion and for the advance of the kingdom of God. So let me just read the verse here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, Jesus said, pray in this way, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Kent, prayer has to start with praying for God's kingdom, not for my kingdom, for God's agenda, not for my agenda. Prayer is all about seeking the advancement of the kingdom of God. So in this verse, verse 10, Jesus said, this is to direct our prayers. He says to pray, your kingdom come. Now, there's a lot in those three words, your kingdom come. Again, we're to pray for God's kingdom, not for our own kingdom. And the kingdom here in this verse refers to the reign and the rule of God in the hearts of citizens in his kingdom. It's referring to the reign of God in the hearts of believers. This is to say, he is the king over his kingdom. He is the sovereign over his kingdom. And he rules and reigns over our lives. Now, the kingdom of God is expressed in different ways in the Bible. There is God's sovereign reign over the entirety of the universe, over all circumstances, even over unbelievers as well as believers. But the reference here is not to God's universal kingdom. It's to his really redemptive kingdom, his kingdom of salvation that is within the hearts of men and women. Jesus said in John 3, verse 3, except you be born again, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. And so we have to be born again in order to enter into the kingdom. We have to bow the knee in saving faith and repentance and call upon the name of the Lord to enter into the kingdom. And so what does this mean to pray for your kingdom to come? Well, it means several things. Number one, for it to spread to more people. It's really a prayer for evangelism and for the gospel and for the kingdom of God to come to more hearts and to more souls. It's also a prayer for our own sanctification, that God's kingdom would be more fully developed in our own lives, that we would be growing more and more obedient to the laws that govern the kingdom of God, which are found in his word. And it's also a prayer that our lives would be light and salt, and that the kingdom of God would be spreading through our lives as we reach out to impact this world. So we need to be praying for God's kingdom to come. Then he follows it up, your will be done. Now, we need to clarify here, there is God's sovereign will, his eternal decree from before the foundation of the world. That's going to come to pass no matter what. Ephesians 1:11 says he works all things after the counsel of his will. But that's not the reference here to God's sovereign will. You don't even have to pray for that. That's going to happen. Here is the reference is to God's revealed will in his word. And Ephesians 5:17 talks about that. And so does 1 Thessalonians 4, that God, your sanctification is God's will for your life. And so what's implicit here is that for God's will to be done in my life means that I must humble myself in submission to the revealed will of God and choose to obey it from the heart. And that's what Jesus is saying, that we must pray, that his will be done. And now he sets the bar very high, Kent. He says, on earth as it is in heaven. And so God is wanting and desiring from us full obedience to His will as we live in His kingdom. And there's also an ultimate sense that this is a prayer for the return of Christ, because it will not be until Jesus returns and establishes His earthly kingdom that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the consummation and the culmination of this is when Christ returns, and then God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a lot packed in just these few words, Kent.
Wow, Steve, we may need to extend the length of our study this morning.
Yeah.
Are you ready for some questions?
I'm ready for the best fastball you got. Well,
we probably have a lot of our viewers that are thinking and theological, and they say, okay, God is going to accomplish all His purposes and all of His plans.
Yeah.
And if God is going to do that, then why pray?
Yeah. Well, that's the age-old question, isn't it? And yeah. So you think you've caught me with that
no,
question.
No, I'm just asking the questions that our viewers were asking.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's the answer, Kent. Not only has God sovereignly ordained the end of all things, but God has sovereignly appointed the means to the accomplishment of all those things. Mm-hmm. And God has appointed that we pray, that we witness, that we worship, that we obey. And so, therefore, the path that God has marked out to accomplish the end of all things is that we pray. So we're able to really partner with God, to be a part of what God is doing. And you say, well, what happens if I don't pray? Well, number one, God will raise up someone else to pray for what needs to be prayed, and you missed out on a huge blessing to be able to be a part of it. And James does tell us in chapter 4, you have not because you ask not.
Wow.
And in the strange mystery of God, there are things that God withholds from our lives because we have not prayed and asked for it. So there's a mystery to this, and those lines intersect far above our head. But we know from this passage and 100 other passages, we are to pray, and when we pray, blessing comes to our lives.
So in other words, as you say, put the cookies on the bottom shelf. If God has ordained that our friend John would be saved, He has also ordained that we would pray.
Yes.
And He would use that prayer.
Yes.
To save John.
To save John. And we might even be a part of that solution to take the gospel to John and to witness to him. Or the answer to that prayer may be that God will bring someone else across his path. The answer to that prayer may also be that God may have to send a trial to John's life to humble him, to bring him to the point where he wants to look outside of himself to God and to recognize his need for grace, saving grace in his life.
Now that's super exciting.
It is super exciting.
That we would be part of God ordaining what he has planned. Yeah. Our prayers would be part of that.
Yeah. I mean, one of the greatest thrills of our Christian life is to have prayed for the salvation of someone and then to be present when they're baptized and to hear their testimony of coming to faith in Christ and to know that God allowed you to have some part in being a connecting link in this chain for them to come to faith in Christ. Of course, it was all of God and none of us in the ultimate sense. But again, God has appointed that we be a part of preaching the gospel and praying for lost souls and supporting those who take the gospel to other places. So, Kent, again, we need to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I hope that this will help direct your prayers. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who taught his disciples how to pray. And more than anything else, you and I need to learn how to pray. And as we do, God opens really the path before us, and we're able to step into the fullness of His will. May God bless you as you've joined us today.